Well, hey, my friends, welcome to another episode of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys have a terrific day today. I'm going to last minute get my shake together over here. How are you guys doing? Doing good? Great. Sometimes you got to get a response back from them.
Well, you know, if you do a dialogue when you speak, and we talk to the camera and we expect you to answer us. Of course, they may send a little short bus to pick us up.
I don't know. At least we need some emails. I'm getting more reviews. I like those. Appreciate those guys. Those are coming through. We're double-checking everything on there. So, yeah, be sure to stay, keep your health up and running as best as possible. Make sure you guys are staying strong and healthy. And we're going to cover some stuff today, especially over JFK in the congressional hearing. I've seen some of this. He's been getting pretty irritated.
He called that senator a liar right to her face. And she was. She's just making up stuff.
Nobody has the ability to get access to the COVID vaccine at all anymore, which we'll get into this in a second. Yeah. And then he flat calls her out. He goes, Senator Warren, you've got $855,000 in payouts from pharmaceutical companies. Make sure you guys are keeping your health strong. Magnesium Brain Food on sale for product of the week. It's Friday.
I like it when he called her a liar.
Oh, it was
right
funny.
To her face twice.
Let's see if I can pull some stuff up on here in a second. But yeah, be sure to check this out. Why it's on sale at Team Health Masters. Give us a review. You guys love Magnesium Brain Food.
It's the COVID cult.
Oh, it is.
It's a cult.
It is a cult.
Yeah.
It is a cult. Because it'll never be enough.
No.
I can't get a hold of my 27th booster now. Yeah, well, why do you need your 27th booster if the shot works so good?
The question is not why can you not get a hold of your 27th booster if you're having 27 boosters. The question is, why are you alive?
That's true.
Gosh.
Guinea pig over
you
here.
You must have an unbelievable immune system. Handle that mess.
Well, you guys like a lot of the products. You vote for them and they win. Make sure you guys are reviewing on the Magnesium Brain Food. I still haven't seen any reviews on it. Surprise. And, so I'm waiting on those.
I think I'm going to do a review on it. But take the one from that one lady who's talked about it on the last website. Just move it over.
I could do that. But I want them to do something.
Oh, you're trying to engage the camera again.
I'm trying to engage the camera. So, I mean, we do this show every day. I'm trying to get some, interaction.
This is a four-camera shoot. That's pretty fancy, by the way, for a podcast. We got the center camera that's me and Austin showing me drinking my Fit Food and my collagen and my Purple Stick. Then I got that camera over there that's just on me. Then we got another camera over here just on Austin. And then we got another camera that's set up just for the screen. So, that was all for you guys, by the way. Everybody said, we want to have the screenshot. And I'm like, okay, we'll take care of it. By the way, the innovation, setting a new standard for hydrogen fuel cells. This is pretty interesting. The remarkable fuel cell life of 200,000 hours is a breakthrough in hydrogen fuel car technology. The extraordinary leap was made possible by using a scandium in the fuel cells. Scandium is a rare earth mineral, probably all in Ukraine, that enables low-temperature hydrogen fuel cells to function effectively. Its role in this innovation cannot be overstated, as it allows for more efficient energy transfer, leading to longer fuel cell life. The research and development process at UCLA has been instrumental in achieving this milestone. The team's relentless pursuit of innovation has led to the creation of a fuel cell that can outperform traditional ones by a significant margin for lasting up to 200,000 hours. That's crazy,
wow.
Austin.
Yeah, it is.
Hydrogen is so cheap. It's unbelievable how cheap it is. And it's easy to make off out of water. It's great.
That's what I say. You make it out. That one guy came out with that hydrogen engine for a pickup truck.
Yep, and they shut him down quick.
They shut him down. The whole thing got scrapped. They don't want any competition with big oil.
Well, they don't want that because if you got a car that's getting 100 miles per gallon or 200 miles per gallon and it's running on hydrogen, which is this air basically, because the big percentage of the Earth's atmosphere is hydrogen, they don't know what to do with it.
No. Yeah. Well, no, and what the EPA has done is they've intentionally tried to force everybody into this unbelievably unsustainable electric vehicle culture by forcing these vehicles to get X amount of fuel mileage. I read an article the other day. It was on one of the articles on the Super Duties, and it was talking about how the EPA, before a lot of stuff has gotten rolled back now with Trump, but up until then under Biden, by like 2031, all Super Duties had to get at least like 35 miles a gallon.
Well, then it might not even get 15.
The problem with it is those engines, I've seen them have the ability to get in the 30s with deletion and actually having them be able to function properly, but they cannot get the fuel mileage with the emission restrictions that they put on the vehicles. It's not possible. So what the EPA was attempting to do was to force vehicles out of the market, or if they wanted to keep them, Ford had to start paying massive carbon emission climate fines or taxes, carbon taxes, into the hundreds of millions of dollars. So what they were doing was they were forcing these companies to pay all this money back to the EPA to fund its own nonsense.
Well, the EPA is like a terrorist organization.
They are. They really are.
Yeah.
Because they go in and say, well, we've deemed it so you've collected water in a bucket in your property. We're going to fine you $10 million now, which, by the way, they've done stupid stuff like that. They've come in and said,
they do that stuff all the time.
Now they've gotten massively defanged and got a choke chain on them now, which they should have started in the first place, because they were probably the most prevalent agency that operated under the Chevron doctrine, I think, more than almost any other agency.
They are.
Because they just did whatever they wanted.
They deem it so. Mm-hmm. You have a 10-by-10-foot pond on your property that's 4 inches deep.
Yeah.
You have to stay within a mile.
It's collecting rainwater.
My property's not even a mile. You can't use your property anymore. You're like, what's wrong with you?
We deemed it protected wetland now.
You know, somebody sent me a text the other day, and they said that the CDC is out of their mind right now because of the loss of the vaccine mandates.
Oh, they're going nuts.
And Terry sent me this. She said, there's a 100% chance that when the Florida ends the vaccine mandates, the CDC will run chemical weapons teams to spread contact poisons in Florida to fake an outbreak in order to cause a measles panic.
It's a possibility. I've thought about that.
You know, I'm not saying this is real. I'm just saying this is a speculation of a false flag here, or some other panic to push back against health freedom. You can bank on it because the CDC has done this before in Disneyland and other places when they gave out measles vaccines. Measles.
I didn't know that.
Well, now whether they did that or not, but measles, because they did have a breakout. I remember that. And the article was on to say the CDC, and I'm not saying this is real, but I thought it was interesting. The CDC is a terrorist organization with intelligence officers who run pandemic psyops. I know they run the psyops.
They do that.
And to push vaccines for depopulation. You know, Bill Gates is the one who said that. He said we can use vaccines to get about 10% off the planet.
Yeah,
I mean, we've got him saying that. This is, I said, and it says that some of their top leaders have demonic tattoos. Well, a lot of people have demonic tattoos, and they dress up like demons. Well, I hate to say it, a lot of people dress up like demons too.
That's not specific just to CDC, no. Unfortunately.
And then you think, well, are they demons that prey upon children?
Yeah,
I just said a big thing there. And I said, I'm not sure about this, but, you know, think about that for a second. I mean, are they really wanting to make sure that children suffer as much as they possibly can because the children are in God's image and they're the most innocent thing on this planet?
Well, one of the biggest things that I think everybody's got to address now, and this is what RFK is really bringing to light, and this is why all the cockroaches in the CDC are starting to flip out. They are. It's what they are. They operate in the darkness. They like to do, you know, obscure things without anybody seeing them.
Chevron doctrine.
You got to think about this. And he brought this statistic up, and I pulled up, and it was accurate. He says now 76% of the American population is now dealing with at least one chronic disease. 76%. You hear him say that yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
I just pulled it up. And so what's crazy about this is he blasted basically Democratic Senator Ron Wyden, who's like flipping out. I mean, this guy looks like he's about half dead. I mean, let's be real.
Look at his skin tone.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he's.
Could he get any more Botox in his forehead? What is wrong with him?
I think it's fundamentally cruel and defies common sense. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do I get a reply? Or, Senator, you've sat in that chair for how long? 20, 25 years while the chronic disease in our children went up to 76%, and you said nothing. You never asked the question why it's happening. Why is this happening? Today, for the first time in 20 years, we learned that infant mortality has increased in our country. It's not because I came in here. It's because of what happened during the Biden administration that we're going to end.
I'm going to let Senator Wyden respond briefly to that, and then we're not going to go over like we just did.
Gosh, he looks like he's a walking corpse. He's definitely the guy that I would highly listen to about health and nutrition. Well, yeah, if you're getting your information from him on that, I wish you the best.
Okay, I'm going to say something. Doggone it all, I don't want to do this.
Oh,
this reminds me of the movie Predator.
Predator? Yeah. Oh, gosh. Carefully quote on that one.
You know what I'm going to say.
Yes.
got you in trouble one time.
Yeah.
And it was the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, probably one of the best movies he's ever done back in the 80s.
That was a great movie.
But it's not for children.
No.
And Jesse Ventura is one of the special team ops.
Yeah.
And he basically is in the helicopter. Oh, God. I'm going to say it. I may have to edit it, but I'm going to say it. And he's trying to get everybody to get some tobacco, and everybody's trying not to get air sick.
Yeah, why should I feel chaw?
And then he spits on this guy's boot, and he'll call Weatherby's boot, and he calls him while he says, "Oh, I'm looking at him now," and he says, "Bunch of pencil neck faggots." I didn't say it. Now,
to quote him, he said,
"Now that's what he said." Now I'm not saying about this guy.
Goes down to the direct quote. He said, "Y'all are a bunch of slack-jawed faggots around here."
Oh, that's right. Oh, so when we look at him and we say slack-jawed faggot, we don't mean it from him. We're quoting the
I'm
movie.
I'm quoting the movie. Don't that's get mad at doing. Me. That's Jesse Ventura. You can just talk on that one. But I think
he needs another shot of Botox. He already looks like a corpse.
I mean, you know, he's probably on his 12th, maybe 14th COVID shot.
But you know what? You hear what he said to him. He goes, "You've said nothing about the infant
for 25 years.
25 years. And now, and under the Biden, it's gone up. And now I'm trying to fix it." Unbelievable.
Well, and he made a valid point. He goes, "The chronic disease hasn't gone up because I sat in this chair now for the last 4 months." And that's, and dude, he eviscerated a bunch of the senators with Senator Warren and all that, because that's what he keeps bringing up. He goes, "Now suddenly I'm trying to say what we've been doing for 30 years now isn't working."
I wonder if he carries a purse like that one senator does.
Oh, he's definitely a purse carrier.
Purse carrier.
Probably princess bracelet, too.
Princess bracelet.
Princess bracelet. I don't.
He's a pencil.
Maybe that. He may have a red string, though.
Ooh. All right. Okay. And for all of those people who are insanely offended by what I said, I don't care. Watch next door.
That one. Why is Conor McGregor got that one fight? It was, "I'd like to apologize to absolutely nobody."
When they asked Hank Williams, they said, "You called the bomber, you know, Hitler."
Yeah.
Yep. I was like, nope.
You know what's crazy, though, in reality, in all seriousness, though, what he's saying here and what he's bringing up, this should really open the eyes of the general United States population, that he's coming in and saying, "We've been doing something that's an abysmal failure for the last 30 years. The kids are getting sicker. The deaths are getting higher. The diseases are getting more chronic. Everything's getting continually worse. And now I'm wanting to question why it's getting worse. And suddenly you guys are going, we can't talk about that. Can't talk about that."
Well, no, they can't talk about that because they take too much money from pharmaceutical companies.
There you go.
And so they've got to shut him down. What they're trying to do here is they're trying to discredit Kennedy.
That's exactly what they're trying to do.
And they can't.
Yeah.
Because
he's got valid rebuttals.
Well, yeah, because he won't sit down. He won't lay down and take the hit.
Yep.
You know, and that's why I personally would have voted for Kennedy for president.
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you what, though, I think he's doing a better job where he is right now. He can run for president next time.
He has a more isolated direction. The problem is in the presidency, I feel like.
Shotgun.
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the place, man. I mean, it's double op buck, triple op buck every direction where you go, where he can actually focus more on the healthier. So, yeah.
Got a bubblegum story for you, for somebody who's not a pencil neck.
It's Friday.
He's not a pencil neck.
He's not a pencil
neck. He's tough. NFL, remember, NFL is not licensed as a sport. It's licensed as entertainment. This is professional wrestling run amok. Okay?
Very, very high paid professional wrestling.
And if you're betting on NFL games, let me give you.
You better know the bookies.
You better know the. I have an NFL former player who told me that they're all fixed. They want him to run books for them. And so I'm letting you know that. But the NFL world is furious after the Eagles star Jalen Carter gets ejected for spitting on Cowboy star.
This can't be spitting.
Now, are we back in third grade now or what?
Yeah, we spitting on people.
The NFL world exploded in anger on Thursday after the Philadelphia Eagles star Jalen Carter was ejected. I mean, he got ejected before the game even started.
Did he really?
Oh, he got pumped out. He was one of the top players on the team, too. After the kickoff, Eagles and Cowboys players began to talk trash, which they do all the time. Carter was seen spitting toward Dallas's quarterback, Dak Prescott, in front of an NFL official. The official threw the flag on the play, which penalized Carter and ejected him from the game. You know, We're talking Andre the Giant faces the Rocker Hulk Hogan. But quite frankly, it's bubblegum for the imagination, and I'm just covering it right now because I have nothing better to do on a Friday, I guess. But it is funny to me that when I see stuff like this, and people really get angry over this stuff.
Oh, NFL?
Now, was it staged? I don't know. Who cares?
I don't know if you'd have staged that. Getting ejected from the game's not real fun. He's probably,
well, yeah, but you know, the thing about it
is... But he's now made
national news for front news on Fox today. And you know what's funny to me? You know, I've talked to Van before, you know, because Van was an NFL player, played for Cleveland Browns and played for Buffalo for years, about 4 years. And he told me, he says, they talk a lot of smack on those lines.
Oh, yeah. And some of those guys like to hurt people.
He said one time he was talking about somebody's mama.
On the line? On the line. Oh, gosh.
And he said this guy was like 300 and some odd pounds.
Yeah, you know, linebacker. You know,
Van's about 210, 220. And he said, the big boy said, I'm going to get you, boy.
Oh,
and I asked Van, what'd you do? Did you hit him? No, he said, I ran as fast as I could. He couldn't catch me. Van was a defensive back. I got a kick out of the Van. So funny. But they do talk smack on those lines, though, because they're hitting each other out there. They're running into each other. They're defending each other. You're covering each other. So I thought it was funny. All right, what's your next story on?
Well, this is interesting. I had a conversation last night with one of my good buddies who still does a lot of contract work, and I asked him about Venezuela last night.
Oh, here we go.
I asked him about Venezuela. I asked him about the 22nd Expeditionary Marine Unit, all the stuff out there, and he said that they have already started putting bids out with the DOD for private down in Venezuela now. He said they private contracting down in Venezuela. He said they do not want to do direct action with U.S. military, with Marines. This is what he told me last night. I was very curious about what's going on with this. And he said essentially what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep the conflict private. And pretty much is exactly what we thought. They have not disclosed this, but it's pretty much a regime change. This is what they want
to do. Well, that's what CIA does.
And they want to get a regime change.
We've changed over 60 countries.
They need somebody in office that they can use to contract out for the oil, start getting out. And then this happened this morning now. Venezuelan fighter jets basically skim over a U.S. Navy destroyer and show a force. Two Venezuelan F-16 fighters basically flew right over a doggone destroyer in the South Caribbean yesterday.
That must be tense, bud.
Woo!
Because, number one, they're coming at them fast.
They're coming at them fast.
They don't know who they are unless they have transponders on, because they usually don't run those on military
jets. They're still F-16s. Yeah, they're not coming on with a little spitter pad. The air balloons with the fans on them, dropping hand grenades. I don't know where that happened in some country.
That was the Middle East somewhere.
Somewhere.
And they turned off the Iron Dome defense network before they did that.
Well,
told them to stand down.
The thing that's probably pretty wild about this is, you know, they're going to pick them up on radar. They're going to say, we got two bogeys coming in. We got F-16s coming in. That's not us, guys.
That must have been tense.
Oh, yeah.
They could be coming in and dropping ordnance on them.
Now everything is unbelievably hostile over there. Now the U.S. is basically starting to scramble more fighter jets that want to start flying around. This is going to take one stinking dogfight to go into a full-blown invasion. Yeah.
Last month, Attorney General Pam Bondi, who basically has not released the Epstein files, announced a $50 million reward for information leading to the arrest of Maduro, saying he uses foreign terrorist organizations to bring deadly drugs and violence into our country. Why don't we do a $50 million reward for the release of the Epstein files?
Whoa. We can't talk about that, brother.
That's right. We'll have to change topics.
We can't talk about that. But that's the thing about it is I saw that last night, and I thought to myself, the thing is, and he said this last night when I talked to him, because the thing about Venezuela is, he goes, they have a pretty substantial fighting force over there. And he goes, they have some serious weapons, because they've been getting stuff from the cartel.
And from NATO.
And from NATO, mm-hmm. And also, too, from the Middle East. You remember that? Venezuela is one of the main areas that weapons get trafficked into Mexico, from the Middle East, from Turkey, from Ukraine. It's the hotbed, the line that comes through.
You know, that reminds me of when I watch all this is Iron Man, the first one.
Yeah.
With Tony Stark.
Yep. And Industries weapons over there.
And he drops that bomb in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, somebody drops a bomb back on him, and the shrapnel hits him in the chest. And it was his missile.
His missile.
His bomb that blew up in front of him.
Yep.
And, you know, and all of a sudden, he comes back to the United States and says, we're not doing weapons anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there's enough of this.
Yeah.
You know,
because he was the very guys we're allegedly fighting are the guys that are using my weapons, too. They fund both sides.
Ah, so
and it makes me wonder, and again, this is pure speculation. He did not say anything about this last night. It makes me wonder if a lot of the weapon systems that we've been funneling through Ukraine were intentionally ran that direction, which I knew they were over that way, but they've been landing in Venezuela for the sheer purpose of creating more of a hostile conflict if this goes sideways.
But remember, though, Maduro hasn't done anything.
Correct. Well, yeah, no. He's allegedly sold a copious amount of dope around the world.
We don't know that.
But that's the story.
The reality is that we have a lot of dope being run through the CIA in the United States.
And so Mexico.
Is that Donald Trump doing
China
that?
No. China's the number one distributor of fentanyl. They're the number one manufacturer of fentanyl in the entire world.
It's an easy product to make from a chemical standpoint.
So strong. From what I've read on it, you know, like 1 pound of it. It's not a pound of it. Isn't very much. But I mean, you know, you can touch a piece of it and it can kill you, no D on it.
Right,
how strong it is.
Yeah.
So dollar for dollar, it's the strongest narcotic.
I think it's 1,000 times stronger than heroin, if I remember.
1,000 or 100, I don't
know.
Remember. It's serious.
But whatever it is, it'll kill you dead.
Yeah, that's why law enforcement double gloves.
It's like a grizzly bear. It'll kill you.
Yeah.
What is that Nietzsche thing? What doesn't kill you make you stronger?
Except a grizzly bear.
And fentanyl.
Yeah. So, again, something to be aware of. If this is going to be theater in order to try to start another conflict, you know, the Middle Eastern conflict. Remember, too, they've got to get the news and they've got to get the focus off what's going on with Gaza, too. They need another reason why they don't want anybody talking about Gaza right now.
They don't care about Gaza. You know why?
No, they do. They've got some pushback. Look how – I mean, you go on social media now. The overwhelming support for that entire situation over there is about 2%. Nobody cares.
But they don't care. They really don't care what social media says because they'll continue to obfuscate.
That's true.
Okay?
They'll twist it.
They're going to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
They've deemed it so.
That's true.
Because they have the big bad bully on the West, which is us, that's backing them up with hundreds and thousands of nuclear weapons.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
No, they're not. They don't care.
Yeah.
And Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't give a poop about what anybody thinks. I know the guy. He doesn't care.
Well, no, and it's been clear about that because you've got all these other countries now that are basically talking about no longer giving them weapons and sanction them. Zero.
Fauci doesn't care.
Complete disregard.
Fauci didn't care either.
No.
They don't care.
Well,
because they know they're protected.
And that's why I think so many of these clowns and senators in that congressional hearing yesterday, they were just blowing up on RFK Jr. because they don't like being questioned about all the stuff that's happened. They don't like it. They don't like having somebody call them out and say, well, you've been doing this for 25 years. You've done nothing. You have no concern, never brought it up, never talked about it. Now, suddenly, I get in this chair and I start calling stuff out, and you go, well, you can't do that. You can't take this shot away. And RFK Jr. said yesterday, he goes, there's been no long-term clinical trials. There's been no long-term safety studies with a COVID shot. It operated emergency use authorization.
And then she starts lying.
Yeah, she starts lying about it.
You know what's funny is if she had been under oath,
oh yeah,
okay, they could put her in jail for what she did.
Yeah.
Problem is they just say whatever they want to say. And, I don't remember. I don't recall.
Because they're not the one on
her own. No.
They're not the one
no,
on
it's
own.
Unbelievable.
So they say whatever, and it's televised, recorded, so they say whatever erroneous stuff they want to say on there to keep the narrative in the direction that they wanted to go, and it doesn't matter. And then RFK Jr. slips up and says anything inaccurate.
It reminds me a lot of Howard Hughes, okay, in that movie The Aviator with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
Okay? And they bring him before Congress for hearings.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid he's trying to take over Pan Am. He's a defense contractor. And they start just questioning him just erroneously.
Yeah.
And then he just gives them the statistics back, you know.
Yeah, the numbers back.
Like 95% of all the things that you guys pay for never go into production and they never basically are used or deployed. Whatever the statistics were.
Yeah.
He just chews them out. And then he just throws his thing down. Says, I don't have to put up with this mess anymore. He gets up and just walks out.
Walks out.
You know, and the guy's, you're out of order. Well, you're the one getting all the money from TWA, you know, and he just nails him, you know. Remember all that?
Yeah.
And he just had enough of it. And then that's kind of where we are right now as an American population. We're all kind of looking at what's going on. We're going, this senator's lying. And Kennedy's calling her out.
You're calling him all out. Well, and it reaches a point, too. And this is in any fact. This is in your life. This is in business. This is in relationships. If you're doing something continually year after year after year after year, and it's getting worse, it's getting worse, it's getting worse. Do a 5-year assessment, it's gotten significantly worse. 10-year assessment, it's gotten even incredibly worse. You got to ask yourself a question. How long am I going to keep doing this?
Yeah.
How long am I going to keep up this unbelievably bad diet where I'm gaining 10, 20, 30 pounds a year?
Even 10 pounds a year is a lot.
How long am I going to continue to get more chronic diseases and more health problems? If the diet that I'm eating is making me sicker every single year, how sick do I need to get from it?
Kennedy said the kids have 76% of the kids 76%. Have a chronic disease. It's children now.
Yeah, well, because it ties in. It's either ADHD or it's autism or it's some type of issue as far as with an autoimmune disorder, an inflammatory response. Oh, their tonsils are swollen. They got to take them out. Their adenoids are swollen. We got to take them out. Oh, they're here. We got to put tubes in their ears. They got another problem. It's because I hear it all the time. I get the phone calls at the office. I get the emails at the office, and parents are going, I don't know what to do.
You know, a few months ago, I had the opportunity and the privilege of working with a 10-year-old who was obese.
Yeah.
spent the whole weekend with him, me and Van.
Yeah.
And we had him in the gym. We worked out with him. We taught him how to work out. And he couldn't even squat down.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, he, well, you guys should call it a deep knee bend.
Yeah.
Okay. And if he, and if he, and if he squatted with a deep knee bend, he'd roll over backwards like a little, you know, like a little tadpole. He'd just roll over.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it because he was so out of balance and so uncoordinated.
Right. No stabilizers.
And I talked to his mom, and his dad was about, you know, 300-400 pounds, and his mom had had a lot of problems. She was way over 200 pounds, and she had to have, you know, gastric sleeve over there and put in. She thought she'd have to have that done. And then she didn't change the diet. The kid's diet didn't change, and he was still eating junk and bringing junk home. And finally, I told her, I said, you know, this isn't the child's problem. It's your problem right
now.
At
that age, it's what, that age's
not
their fault.
Now, don't you fuss at me. Don't you send me any letters on this.
No,
okay?
Right.
If you've got a 12-year-old or 10-year-old or 8-year-old obese child or a sickly child, that has nothing to do with that child. It's your fault as a parent. That child, he's 8 years old. He doesn't jump in the car, grab the car keys, and run and buy junk food. You bring it home to him. And I see it over and over and over and over again. Then parents get really, really mad. Well, I want to feed him right, but my husband doesn't. Now, that's a problem because that is true. That is not even an excuse. That's just a fact. Sometimes, well, I want to feed her right, but my wife won't. I had a friend of mine. He had an international ministry. Won't give you a name because he's still alive. And he had a son who was absolutely, you know, in great shape. I'll never forget this. And he married an evangelist daughter, right? And she had to lose 100 pounds, Austin, to get married.
Wow.
You know, she was about 220. She dropped back down to 120. They got married. And I saw him like 5 years later. The marriage did not last, by the way. I saw him 5 years later, and he was up 100 pounds, and she was back up 100 pounds. And you've seen it, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's all predicated by what they eat and what wife cooks. I'm sorry, ladies. Unless the husband's cooking, then it's predicated on what you cook. All right? When you eat junk all the time, it's like you said, Austin, you're going to gain 1 pound a month. That's 12 pounds a year. Well, that doesn't sound like much. You know, I need to weigh 180. I'm 192 now.
That's an easy fix.
Yeah. Not after 10 years, it's not.
No.
Okay. Now you're 120 pounds up.
Now your numbers are starting with threes and fours.
Now you're 300 pounds. Yeah. And now you're like, oh, man, I feel awful. I got all these diseases. Isn't it? People always ask me, because I weigh in every day.
Yeah.
Well, you're obsessed by weighing in. Talked to my daughter the other day.
Yeah.
And I said to her, she started talking to me about weight.
Yeah.
Where she weighs. She works out all the time, trains all the time. Because I got to taught her how to do that when she's young. And she goes, you know what? This is funny. She goes, you were right about the scales. I said, what about the scales? She goes, I weigh in every day.
Yeah.
And I started laughing.
Brain's starting to gel up.
Brain's gelling up. She goes, I said, well, why have you started doing that? She goes, it's easier.
Oh, yeah.
If you go up a pound, you go up 2 pounds, you catch it, you bring it back down again. She goes, if you don't weigh in but once a month, you're up, you know, a couple pounds.
So you got to fight it back
then
down.
You got to fight it back down.
Then all you do is a yo-yo every month. Back up, back down, back up, back down, back down, back down.
People say, you're being obsessive. No, I'm being healthy. I mean, think about it for a second. And plus like this, like if you go out and you eat out a lot, which is kind of hard not to do nowadays, but, you know, sometimes you do it, sometimes you don't. Then what ends up happening is you've got to ask yourself a question. How many calories am I taking in on this meal?
Oh, yeah.
And if you're going out on a date, right, see if the date will split a meal with you. You think, oh, why would you do that? You're trying to save money? No, I'm trying to save calories. It's just easier.
Well, unless you get something, you get a small piece of fish or something. Fish and broccoli. I mean, there's not
calories. Oh, that's fine,
that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You made the comment about being obsessed about your health. Well, you know, what's funny is, you know, there's always something in most cases that you're going to be focused on more than others, right? In life, there's certain things. You're going to be focused on your kids, focused on God, should be focused on business, focused on worth. Is it really that big of a deal to be really obsessed and focused on good health?
Ooh, that's a good point.
Is it a bad thing? Does that mean it's your body's a temple, right?
Well, you know, let me meddle in again.
Well, no,
we've already. You're right. Okay, the Bible says, "Don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple? And God's Spirit lives within you. And if you destroy God's temple, it says He will destroy
there you."
Now He doesn't come in. He doesn't hit you with a lightning bolt, though He could. What He does, He basically allows the natural laws that He's put into place to basically do what they're going to do. It's like stepping off a 10-story building. I talked about the other day. It's saying law of gravity is not real.
Right.
Well, he tells you not to eat pork, you know, because it'll cause cancer. And also, well, I'm going to eat all the pork I want to eat. I don't care.
You could do that.
Now, why does that happen? Here's why it happens. It's bad teaching from Christian churches into Christian communities. They say just pray over and eat it. Now, I'm going to try this from memory if I can do it. It's from 1 Timothy. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience has been seared with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry, and they order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received by thanks with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is rejected if it is sanctified or consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Now you think, did you just quote that verse? Yeah, I did. But here's what it's saying. If you look at the words foods it's talking about there, it means broma. That means food sanctified according to Levitical law. So it's saying that the food that you're supposed to be eating is supposed to be sanctified according to Levitical law, and that food is good no matter what. That tells you not to eat pork, not to eat shellfish, not to eat catfish, not to eat eel, not to eat muskrats.
Hey, by the way, you're also not supposed to eat vultures either. They're in that same category.
And you're not supposed to eat cats or dogs. I mean, is it you know?
Yeah. Oh, you can get emails on that one.
No, it's so funny.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's just this thing with cats and toxoplasmosis. We've covered it before. It's unbelievable how people have this affinity to cats and they get attached to cats. And it's like the cat becomes their god. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wait, back before all we go rabbit trailing the cats. Being focused and obsessed on good health is not a bad thing to have, especially with your children, because your children are probably one of your greatest assets, and they are your responsibility.
That's right.
You think about this for a second. Parents go, well, it's not my fault my 8-year-old wants to go eat junk and he wants to drink all the soda in the house. Well, would you have the same concept if you said, well, it's not my fault my 8-year-old's an alcoholic because he grabs all the Jack Daniels and starts drinking all the time? It's not my fault. No, think about it for a second. Nobody would agree with you. Everybody would say, dude, you're an idiot. Why in the world are you letting your child have access to that?
You know, it's so funny. I got to come back to that. But what's funny is that when you stop and you look at what's going on with kids and their health and everything else, you start to realize it's your responsibility. But if you've been taught wrong from the pulpit to pray over and eat anything you want, exactly then right. You think it's okay to do that. The Bible doesn't say that.
No.
It said it's sanctified by the word of God, which is the Torah, by the way, when that book was written, and prayer. So it's got to be sanctified by the word. You can't just be eating junk all the time. It doesn't work that way. You can't be eating pork all the time and not expect to get parasites. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way. So funny. You know what's the funny part about it is? This is the funny part. My mom smoked.
Yeah, she smoked a lot. Okay. Misties.
No.
Misties. I still remember how those smell.
My sense of smell is still messed up from that.
Same.
She'd hotbox her room, right?
She hotboxed the whole bar.
And so we'd be working outside with her, and she'd ask us, me and my sister, to light up a cigarette.
Yeah.
Now, think about this for a second. You go, and so
I'm, granted, back in the 50s and 60s, nobody really knew how
I was 7 years old.
I'm trying to defend Alma a little bit. She's not here to defend herself.
And so finally, one day, I'm 8 years old. And she's in the house, and her pack of Misties or whatever it was is in the house. She left an extra pack. She smoked like 5 packs a day. And so I said, I'm going to have me a cigarette.
Yeah.
And you go, you didn't really do this, Ted. Oh, yeah, I did. I was sitting on a little green bench that was wrought iron. I almost kept that for nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I remember I decided to light the cigarette up. So I lit that cigarette up, boy. And I'm sitting on that bench. And I'm by myself in the house. I didn't burn the house down. And, man, I took a drag on that thing and inhaled it.
Yeah.
And I fell on the floor, turned it back to green, trying not to burn the doggone rug with the cigarette. And I'm going to myself, this is awful.
Oh, yeah.
And then she'd give me beer whenever I wanted it. Hot beer.
Hot beer. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
you know what? You don't drink or smoke. So
I don't drink or smoke. Now stop and think about that for a second. And I don't know what to do with kids on this, okay? You don't want them to drink it. You don't want them smoking. You tell them not to. And they decide they want to do it because you tell them not to.
Yeah.
So then you tell them to drink. You tell them to smoke, and they don't want to do it, right?
But then you contributed to
it. But my oldest brother, he ended up turning into an alcoholic.
Yeah.
But he doesn't smoke. You know, and my sister and I, we neither one of us smoke or drink. But the crazy part about it is raising kids is like a crap show. You don't know what you're going to get. You throw a bunch of mud. Throw a bunch of mud on the wall, see what sticks. You don't know what they're
going to
do.
Well, I remember going over there all the time. We'd always have to air out. You'd open the front door, you'd open the back door of the bar, and then we'd play pool. But I remember to this day, even when I get around cigarette smoke, it gives me a wicked headache.
Me too.
To this day.
Yeah.
That's how much of a deterrent it was being around when I was younger. I was like, guys, why do people do this all day?
Yeah. We had this big old fan. Right?
Yeah.
Big on I'd stand. What I'd do is I'd open the front door, open the back door, and I'd stick the fan in the front
air
door.
Air it
and
out.
And air it out.
Yep.
Remember that?
Oh, I remember very clearly. We played billiards over there all the time.
Yeah.
That's where I got pretty good at pool. He still beat me, though.
Because I was evidence of a misspent youth.
Yeah.
And but it was interesting how that happens with kids. So here's the question. You now pretty much all my kids eat pretty clean, but one. and all of them are pretty much working out but one. And so you always ask yourself a question, will that but one ever decide to make changes? You always have to say, well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because that's all you can do, isn't it? Well, so, but if you train up a child in the way they should go, the word says when they are old, they're not depart from it. But that's a caveat. If you say it one way, the way they should go, in other words, let them do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Then when they're old, they'll continue to do that. Or a lot of people interpret it meaning if you train up a child in the way that they, in other words, you tell them how they should go, they'll stay the same way.
Well, one of the biggest things, like I was reading this article about the massive amount of basically obesity now with young children.
It's horrible.
And a lot of it's being tied into high fructose corn syrup because sodas are so prevalent. And so there's this balance, right? Because I've got three kids. There's this balance because exactly what you said. If you sit there and you run such a hard play and you go, you can never touch a soda, you can never touch a can, you can never touch ice cream, it's all bad, 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 bad. Well, eventually they're going to get around it. They're going to go, oh my gosh, I finally have access to something sweet. I'm going to freak out. And I've watched this and kids go nuts. They start eating all this junk food and they start gaining a bunch of weight, especially when they go to college. Well, so you got to have this balance of saying, okay, well, they have to have exposed to it. Well, I've done the same thing with Hunter and Kendall as far as letting them have soda and letting them try it. The problem is what happens is the later you wait in life with this stuff, the less of an addiction and less of a habit it becomes. Because like I said, when Hunter hates soda. He hates it.
Give you a headache, man.
Well, a while back ago, I let him have a Sprite. Exactly what happened. He drank his fizzy about like halfway through it. He got real sleepy, got tired, blood sugar dumped on him. He goes, oh, I don't like that. Now he always just wants to drink milk or water. And the thing about it is, if you keep the stuff in the house to readily allow them to have it at a very early age, it's going to set an earlier and earlier and earlier precedent and addiction habit to it. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing about it. Keep it out of the house. If you're going to have it as a treat, you're going to go out somewhere, utilize it for that.
Get it without high fructose corn syrup.
That's exactly right. And I remember the first time I let them have a Coca-Cola over there at Ike's Arcade that shut down now. I wish it was still open in Auburndale. And they had the glass bottle ones out of Mexico with cane sugar in them. And let them split it. And they only drank about half of it after they got halfway through this.
It's so sweet.
That's what he said. It's too sweet. Yeah. It's too sweet. But that's because they haven't grown up drinking those regular. Most kids now, I mean, I see 2 and 3 year olds drinking soda on a regular basis.
I've seen it in baby bottles.
Yeah, you remember you told me that one time.
I was at church in Auburndale, and they had this like a 12-month-old baby, and she had a bottle of soda inside of the baby bottle in the feeding the child that.
That blows my mind.
I mean, I saw it.
I mean, you're just asking them to have diabetes. Have
I laughed, not about this, but about something else yesterday. I laughed. I laughed hysterically.
Yesterday?
I thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen or heard.
What?
Or read. It was. It was funny. You know, Putin's KGB.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got a lot of things he does, like go to church, et cetera. You know, and I like all that kind of stuff. And he's put a beating on Zelensky. Listen to this. Vladimir Putin offers Zelensky a meeting in Moscow.
Ooh.
After showering Ukraine with drones and missiles. And Zelensky says, it ain't safe. I can pretty much guarantee you, if he decided to fly a plane over Russia territory and told Putin he was in it, that plane would never land. It would crash.
I can't argue with that one.
Now, either they would jam it with something and mess up the avionics in it, or it would just get hit by a surface-to-air missile.
Or space-based weapon platform.
Or space-based weapons platform. And so I have to give Zelensky, the guy who likes to play the piano naked, I've got to give him credit for not being as stupid as I thought he was.
He said he declined the offer.
He declined the offer. And I just laughed when I saw Putin say that. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This guy would be
just trolling him.
Even Putin, because, you know, Russia and Alaska are right beside each other.
Oh, I know. The edges of the right there.
It's kind of touch right there, right? And Putin said, I'll meet you in Alaska. Okay? In other words, I'm not even coming to the continental United States.
Yeah.
Not happening. Okay? But I'll meet you in Alaska. You know, I get a kick out of that. Remember, what was her name? Sarah Palin. You say, I could see Alaska from my shoreline or whatever.
Yeah.
And I liked old Sarah Palin. But the crazy part about it is that, you know, I got a kick out of this and I laughed really hard last night. I said, even Zelensky's not that dumb. But they're offering to hold this thing for him in Switzerland now.
Switzerland's always neutral.
Well, you can take a train to Switzerland.
That's true.
Just take the train. Don't get on an airplane. Because when you saw that one plane land with that EU diplomat last week, I covered it. And basically, somebody hit it with jamming and took out the avionics on it. That's serious when you're in a big plane.
That's not funny.
That's not funny. I've been there, done that. It's not funny at all.
Well, speaking of planes now, the Trump administration is dropping the Biden-era airline compensation program. the plan would have required airlines to compensate travelers between $200 to $775 for delays longer than 3 hours, as well as pay their expenses, which if anybody's been stuck because planes get significantly delayed, I can't blame them on this. But Trump administration on September 4th dropped the Biden era proposal that required airlines to pay cash and provide compensation to passengers for delays within their control. So basically, it would be exempt if there's like a massive storm or a huge hurricane or something like that, as far as they can. I have to pay out because, you know, act of God, so to speak. It's about U.S. airlines would have to refund passengers for canceled flights, but there are no laws requiring compensation over delays over a specified period or for related incidental exposure. The DOT says on its website that it assesses applications for refunds on a case-by-case basis. And so I don't know. The problem is that the airline industry is a very interesting industry because it's something that everybody really needs in order to travel quickly in certain areas, especially for business. On the other hand, too, getting delayed for a significant period of time.
Like weather.
But they're saying that would be an exclusion. Mm-hmm. They're saying a lot of this is basically negligence on a lot of the airline parts. So if they're doing stupid stuff and they're getting behind because they can't function, because their DEI pilot can't figure out how to get the plane started.
I'll never forget, I've told you guys this before, you know, when the pilot asks if anybody has any duct tape.
Yeah.
That was great. And, you know, and so the thing about it is a lot of times you got you have these stewardesses or the, I guess you call them, I don't know what you call them now. But they're basically dumb.
Flight attendants,
yeah. They can't.
They're not all dumb. Some of them are
really
good.
Some of them are very good.
Some are great, yeah.
Sometimes you have great flights
with them.
I had that one lady that one time, she turned loose the dog. She turned loose the dog
that's
on beverage bar, and it flew back, and I saw it coming at me. I threw my legs up in the air because I was in a bulkhead in the front, and I basically threw them up high, and the thing slammed into my chair. She'd have broken my doggone legs.
Thank goodness a mom wasn't trying to pull a child out. She had to go to the bathroom or something.
We were on takeoff. And that's what she should. The plane was like this. And she was pulling the luggage. But she was old. And she's the one who told me, because I was talking to the person who was with me when we were, you know, taxiing. And she was basically giving us instructions. And she said, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to stop this plane and have the pilot throw you off.
Oh, she sounds fun at parties.
Oh, she was fun. She's like, 90 years old. It's unbelievable.
So what do you think about this, though? You think Trump should have left this in place? By the way, Canada, Brazil, EU, and UK already have this, where it requires airlines to compensate passengers beyond refunds for canceled, delayed flights.
I think if it's a problem associated with airline cause of maintenance, I think, yes, they should have to pay.
That's what I thought, too.
But if it's
act of God, like a hurricane or big storm.
Or something happens in another city and the plane can't get you because of weather, no.
Yeah.
But if it's straight, I do that in Charlotte with American every once in a while. I loathe Charlotte Airport as American, especially in the afternoon. The planes are always broken down. It's always delayed. It's awful.
Well, and this is what it says here. It says a three-hour delay would be a $200 compensation. 6 hours delay is $375. 9 hours or more, $775. That's on top of getting your flight covered and hotel meals and rebookings if basically you have to come back.
Well, I was booking a flight yesterday, and American Airlines is awful. Okay?
Well, I think that the issue is, that's what I want to ask you about, is I feel like the airline industry has gotten kind of so big for their britches, and now they get away with all this DEI stuff. They kind of just do whatever they want.
Well, listen to this. I'm booking a ticket for a friend of mine, and the lady is concierge key, which is like as high as it gets, right?
Right.
I thought, okay, I got to show you what I'm doing. I worked for half an hour. She kept leaving, coming back. Finally, she goes, oh, nothing available on points.
There you go. AI got a hold of you.
Nothing's available on points. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. She goes, oh, try again next week. I said, okay. Okay. And I said, now she's concierge key. She's high as it gets. So I call back. I'm not, because I don't take no for an answer from these guys. And next lady goes, oh, you're booking on points. You can't book on points on the telephone anymore. You have to do it online. We changed that rule on August the 2nd. And I'm like, I haven't heard that from anyone. She goes, nope, can't do it. Sorry, bye, click. I'm like, well, that was nice, very abrasive as all get out. So then I meet a guy who's got this Indian accent. I call him third time. And I said, okay, I need this ticket. Okay, 15 minutes later, done.
On points.
Yeah.
No, that's AI then. That's what it is. The AI algorithm got a hold of you. We've talked about that.
The first time I left bad reviews. I really did. And the third time, all of a sudden I get the guy, oh, yeah, so I'll be right
after, after their bad review.
You want to go business? You want to go coach? How do you want to do this? How many different ways? I'm not going.
So you got the ticket on points after the bad review.
Yes.
That's AI, baby. That's all I told you. That's how it's functioning now. It runs you through a full AI algorithm.
And the second woman said something about our AI algorithm won't allow me to do this. I can't see the flash. She said that.
Yep. Yep, they're doing that with Marriott now, with a lot of the Marriott hotels. They're all doing it now. They don't have any control. It will flat out show there are no rooms available. It'll show there's no flights available. AI, and then all of a sudden you believe a review. AI kicks you out of the room. They go, crap. We got a flag. Flag. Open up seats.
Yeah, man, I hope that ain't right.
AI's getting crazy, man. But I mean, it's not like American Airlines hurts all the time. Gross profit for 2024 was $16.69 billion. Gross profit.
$16 billion profit?
$16 billion. Look at doggone numbers on it. I'll pull it down there for you. Look at that.
Total
gross revenue. Profit margin almost 31%.
Here's the interesting thing. $54 billion in sales. That means 10%, 20%, over to almost 25% margins here as far as what they're making. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So that's what I said. It's not like American Airlines. Oh, my God. We're having a cash shortfall. We can't cover expenses. We can't cover, you know, maintenance.
No, hang on. We'll go back out here. Okay. Here's the net income. This is after taxes and all the rest of it, after all expenses.
But I think that's right. After they pay out shareholders, too. Yeah. That's so after everybody gets paid.
So that basically, that's not a lot, but that's still better than nothing. I mean, my gosh.
Total revenue is $54 billion. But you got to remember, too.
Well, they're the largest airline in the world.
You got to remember, too. When you start looking at numbers on a lot of these big corporations, they start, at the end of the year, they start running cash out of everything to try to write stuff off. They start paying out dividends. They start having how much their CEO gets paid. But again, they bring an enormous amount of cash. And
here's about an enormous amount of cash. World meat prices have reached new highs as consumers are trying to buy more beef.
Yeah.
That's for the Austin and Ted Brewer Show, collagen.
Collagen. We're buying up all the beef. Okay.
This is great. From grass-fed bovine beef.
Collagen peptides, baby.
But do not use it. Don't care. I'm gonna give you a caveat here. I don't want you to use this. If you want wrinkles.
Well, I don't want wrinkles.
No, if you want wrinkles, don't use this. If you want to have brittle nails and have them falling and chipping all the time, don't use this product. Don't do it. If you want to have your hair continue to fall out, have big bald patches everywhere, and have to go spend $1,500 on extensions, ladies, I've seen it. Don't use this product if you want to be bald and have patchy hair. Now, on the other hand, if you want to have great-looking hair, great-looking skin, and great-looking nails.
And great joints.
That's
a big salary about it.
This is the one. Collagen peptides from grass-fed, bovine, unflavored, hormone, pesticide, and GMO-free, no fillers, no flow agents.
We got nothing to it. There was a company that had one, pretty good quality, and they had these two like bizarre flavors. One was like Cappuccino Express.
Oh, that's horrible. I remember that.
And I mean, it was expensive. The rolls were expensive on it. Like, we've done this flavor enhancement. We've done this and this and this and this and this. And I tried it, and I was like, it tastes like dirt. It tastes worse than unflavored collagen. Well, it's our specialty flavor. We can give you a good deal on it. I'm like,
can't get rid of it.
I don't want a good deal on it because no one's going to buy it. I'm like, I don't even want to use this. This stuff's horrible. Then I tried the unflavored one from a different company. It was super clean. And I said, dude, just don't touch it. Don't touch it. Mm-hmm. Just mix it in, drink it. This isn't a product that needs some type of flavor enhancement, espresso martini.
I just had a scoop of it with my protein powder. You don't even taste it.
You taste it. Mm-hmm. Even if you drink it on its own, it doesn't have much of a taste to it. You throw it in with a Fit Food, which is the way I always
taste
drink
it. All.
You don't taste it at all. It actually makes the shake a little bit thicker and creamier.
So beef prices are through the roof, and people are trying to eat more beef, which I'm actually excited about that. That's pretty cool. Oh, by the way, Alligator Alcatraz will stay open. After the appeals court blocks the judge's ruling to close alcohol. You know what's funny about that?
We love appeals court sometimes.
No, this is funny. If you get a good attorney, all right?
Yeah.
And if you get a ruling you don't like and you want to go ahead and spend some more money with the attorney, you go to the appeals court. In some cases you can't, some cases you can. But the crazy part about this is that there's always the appeals court.
Yeah.
In most cases, but not all cases. And so now, basically, Alcatraz Alley will stay open after the appeal court blocks the judge's ruling. I guess after you go to the appellate court, the only place next, basically, is the Supreme Court, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really understand all that. Haven't really paid any attention to it. But the reality is that, you know, they'll probably take it to the Supreme Court. Oh, let's see if we can plug up the Supreme Court with more stuff to deal with.
That's what they need.
Well, no, because they're going to now say, you know, we've got to go to the Supreme Court to make a decision on whether or not.
I don't know if it's going to go to the Supreme Court because this is a state issue.
Well, you know what would happen, though. Here's how it would go to the Supreme Court.
It's going to be years before they even look at it.
Here's how it's going to the Supreme Court. If it goes.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to release a video of one of the inmates escaping.
Oh, gosh.
And being eaten by an alligator.
Oh, gosh. That's what we don't
need. And blood and guts everywhere. They're going to go, oh, this is horrible. This is cruel and unusual punishment. You know, and the sad part about what these guys are, also, they got invited to come up here and get a free ice cream cone and Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah, well, I mean, Biden invited them. He opened up the door.
They did. And now all of a sudden, and I don't blame them. They're going, we're not criminals. We didn't do anything. Now you got us all locked up down here. You're beating on us. This is awful. So now you want alligators to eat us. This is horrible. I guess what they're trying to do, though, is figure out how to get these people to take the $5,000 incentive to fly back to their countries.
Well, that's the easiest way to do it because it doesn't plug up the courts either.
Yeah.
That way it's what we're doing. And
pay them to leave.
This is interesting. This is a big, big deal. And I'm telling you, if you guys are down here in Florida and you live down here, this is supposed to go to the ballot now about property taxes are actually going to be going on a voting ballot as far as DeSantis are pushing out. They're trying to get it an amendment to remove property taxes from houses.
You don't own your house in Florida.
No. And I had a big conversation with a buddy of mine who's basically in law last night. I was talking about some stuff that I have going on. And he said property taxes are probably one of the most unconstitutional, unlawful platforms of any taxation.
Oh, look at the city of Auburndale. They've got a glut of millions of dollars.
They
got
to go spend $1.2 million on some swamp property because they might put a park there next to Alligator Alley is what we basically on Lake Maddie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, somebody else might buy the property. We got to pay $1.2 million for 20 acres on the side of a swamp. And I'm like, it wouldn't even have been worth that much money on the high-end property over here.
Lake Maddie.
Lake Maddie. It's the reason why nobody's developed it.
It's horrible.
It's the last developed lake in Auburndale. Now they decided to develop it. I'm like, it's a muck bottom.
Well, it's like over there, you know, where Mike Florentino has his office.
Yeah.
His shop, you know. That's Lake Hamilton.
Yeah.
And so the thing's like 5 feet deep.
That's
it is
a
swamp.
Bottom.
It's a swamp. No,
it's just like Jessup.
It's got gators everywhere. And the guy builds a big restaurant right beside Mike.
Rents jet skis. I know. I saw that.
And I'm like, you really, you know, watch out for the speed bumps in the water. Those would be the gators.
Yeah.
My gosh, I don't want to fall out with those things. Oh, by the way, people are actually making AI their friends and companions now because of loneliness.
That's sad.
Millions are emotionally attached to AI companions. This is an interesting article from the Activist Post. Leaked Meta documents reveal the personalized AI strategy enables subtle romances with users, including children. People are turning to AI for companionship, sparking a relationship that could turn into a drug which big tech companies like Meta and OpenAI and ChatGPT are more than happy to supply. New leaked Meta documents show that personalized AI strategy enables subtle romances with users, including children. Last week, a Meta policy was leaked by Jeff Horowitz of Reuters, which uncovered the dark side of personalized AI. The document, Gen AI, Content Risk Standards outline acceptable responses to prompts from children in an official Meta document and seemed to be a normal policy before the Reuters article was published. I'm going to let you guys read this because, you know, these AIs are telling some of these kids to commit suicide.
I mean,
this is some crazy stuff. And now we talked about the danger of this years ago before AI became prevalent because it allows Lucifer to come in now through 5G and 6G and basically attach himself to people this way to allow himself to become more, you know, available. And he can't be omnipresent because he's just a being.
Right.
He's not God.
But the AI almost gives it this. It's not omnipresent, but it almost gives it that
ability.
That ability, right?
Well, you know, it says in Genesis 6 that every thought of every man was evil all the time. The only way that can happen is if something's affecting them all of the time.
Their exposure.
You know,
exposure.
I remember George Bush right before 9/11. He says he's going to get rid of the porn industry, right?
Yeah.
Didn't do anything with the porn industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that industry, of course, by the way, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, free nose breathers, they're the ones who run that porn industry. Just thought I'd tell you that, you know. And they also control the media and they're controlling the AI.
Millions and millions of relationships and lives every year. That's why they
want
to
touch. You know, I have a good friend of mine. You know him. I'm not going to mention his name. He's got a big church in Lakeland.
Yeah.
Okay. He married you, matter of fact.
Yeah.
And he told me, he said, I cannot believe how many people in my church are getting divorced.
Oh, yeah.
He told me that a couple of weeks ago. I had lunch with him.
And the two biggest factors are porn and social media.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And, well, what happens is you get on social media and you start seeing – I knew this one lady. This is years and years ago. They were friends with me and Sharon.
Yeah.
And she starts posting bikini pictures of her on social media.
Yeah.
Well, all she's doing is trolling.
Yeah.
It wasn't 6 months later she had another boyfriend and she was divorcing her husband.
Well, yeah, and especially if you're not like a professional model or something and that's your job and you're just doing it and you're married and you're posting that stuff on social media just for everybody to see and troll – That's no bueno, man. That's no good.
No, but you see it all the time with people, and it's really, really, really sad. But you're right. Social media and pornography.
They have both. I've seen it firsthand, majority of relationships that I know, because what happens, everybody gets wrapped up. Because remember, everything on the internet in most cases is completely and totally manipulated or fake. Instagram's not a real place. Just thought I'd let you guys know that. Facebook's not a real place either.
And you know, I'm going to say something, too, about relationships. Relationships, God, I hate to say this. If relationships are only based on sex and physical infatuation, they will not last.
No.
Because sex is a small part of a marriage of a long-term relationship. You know, you may mess around with somebody for, you know, 10, 20, 30 minutes a day or whatever. You know, sometimes, you know, less, sometimes more. But the reality is that you got another 24 hours you got to deal with the person.
Yeah.
And if that person is an absolute nightmare, you know, the rest of the time, it ain't going to last. The infatuation will leave very, very quickly. That's what Sharon and I learned. The intimacy is not – sex is sex. It doesn't have to be intimacy. Intimacy is holding hands, being with each other, taking each other to lunch. Zig Ziglar called it courtship after marriage. He says if you continue to court your wife like you did before you got married, if you lose your love, the love will come back because the same things that you did to start will work the second time when you want to turn back in and turn it back into love again. The problem is the internet gives you a fake reality.
Well, what it does is it feeds off your base primal instinct of lust.
It's a meat market.
It's a meat market. Yeah. So what happens is a majority of the relationships that start like that off the internet are based purely off lust. And so there can be no long-term relationship if its base beginning was primal lust. Can't. It's impossible. It lasts for a while. You can make it work for a while, but then what happens is it starts to burn out because then what happens is the next primal lustful engagement that you have on social media just replaces the next one.
And then you start talking about who runs the world. They look at you kind of funny. I said, you know, it's a Sabbatean Kabbalah, Lucifer, and Sin, and God, Satan is doing this. They're like, they look at you like, what does that mean? And then you start, then you explain it to them. They go, well, I don't agree with that. Well, now here we go. Now the basis of what you believe, or I believe in Jesus Christ. I had a friend of mine this morning. She contacted me. Good lady. She got saved a few years ago. Wonderful person. She goes, you know, I've been working in a sports bar and I've been serving alcohol. She goes, last night I went to the sports bar personally and I had a few drinks. Yeah. And I started witnessing to people about Jesus while she was drinking. And I told her, I said, I can tell you how that went. That went badly.
Probably.
She said, it was awful. She goes, I won't do that again. I said, no, you can't. Yeah. I said, if you're going to go witness somebody at a sports bar, you know, drink a glass of water.
Yeah.
You talk to them about Christ, but don't be sitting there boozing it up with them. And she goes, well, I've been tempted by doing this because I've been hanging out with these people again. I said, you got to watch that. You got to be very careful in who you hang out with if you're a Christian, because quite frankly, I'm going to say it to you again. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Be careful, guys. This is wild. That internet's a wild, wild west, bud. It's crazy.
Speaking of the wild west, when you jump on some purple sticks, I got a review.
I had my purple stick a few minutes ago.
When I need a boost to start my day and keep going, I take purple sticks. It works really good. It really works. I can take a small amount if I don't want the whole pack. My frame of mind changes when I have the energy to function.
It does, and the B vitamins.
That is a fact, Darlene. When you feel better, when your mind works, when you're hitting on all 12 cylinders, you are so much more functional, whether it is to witness to people, like you just said, whether it's basically in the gym, whether it's at your office, whether it's business, whether with the kids. I mean, I've been before, you know, you're not feeling good or you're tired or you're sick and the kids want to go do some outside and you're just like, ugh, I'm not feeling it.
Purple stick, baby.
You're feeling good all the time. You're healthy. You're staying strong. All of a sudden, they want to go outside and they want to go wrestle or they want to go play ball. You're like, dude, let's go do it. Yeah. I feel like a kid again. Let's go run around.
Purple stick's
great.
Let's
go hop in the pool. Yeah. And so, again, they don't give you that massive cortisol spike like coffee does.
The other night with Hagman, what I did with Hagman the other night, I was on for 2 hours. And thank you for all the feedback, by the way.
Yeah, that's good feedback. You guys had a good conversation.
Yeah, we did. Well, I had supposed to be an hour, and then the last did a dating show the last hour, but you don't want to go there. And because I had nothing like he had me on for an hour.
I know. I thought it was an hour.
I love Doug. He's a great
friend.
You
filled in for me, and I appreciate that.
But apparently, I loved it.
Yeah.
But the crazy part about it is that about 7 o'clock that night, I was on going to be at 9 o'clock, I hit the purple stick. Now, it takes about 2 hours for it to hit me.
You hit faster than that.
Well, it does, but
well, depends if you got it. What'd you get on your stomach?
I'd eaten.
Yeah.
It takes about 2 hours. Now, empty stomach hits you like immediately.
Real quick, yeah.
But about 9 o'clock, I felt pretty good.
Yeah.
And the reason I did it that way, because it was going to be about, because I was up until after midnight.
Yeah. I'm usually about up till 2 afterwards.
But if I take one at 5, it doesn't do that.
Yeah.
I still go to bed at 11.
Well, and I had a customer email me. I haven't responded back to him. And he asked me about the purple sticks for pre-workout because he said there's been research showing that caffeine can be a vasoconstrictant. That is a fact in high doses because also cortisol goes up. That's one of the reasons why the pre-workouts with 300 to 400 milligrams of caffeine can actually be counterproductive. The purple sticks don't do that. They got about 85 milligrams of caffeine in them from a green tea extract. So they don't cause vasoconstriction because that's the last thing you want in the gym. So yes, absolutely use them for a pre-workout. Great option. High doses of caffeine pre-workout, it actually is counterproductive. So I thought I'd answer that question.
By the way, go to church on Sunday.
It's Friday.
That's right.
Yeah.
Go to church on Sunday. I'll be praying for you in church on Sunday. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And you guys are absolutely amazing.
Yeah, you are.
And thank you for your support. And it's amazing what God will do for you and what he's done for all of us. And it keeps the joy of the Lord in our hearts.
It's a fact.
And that way we can joke around on the show like this and cover all kinds of awful things. I love you guys. But we also
appreciate y'all.
We talk about good things, too. God bless you.
Have a great weekend.